The scripture lesson this morning comes from Judges 16, verses 1 through 2. Samson went to Gaza, and there he saw a harlot, and he went into her. The Gazites were told, "Samson has come here." And they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the gate of the city. They kept quiet all night, saying, "Let us wait till the light of the morning, then we will kill him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Mighty God, we pray that the words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts, would be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, and let us all say, Amen. There was a little boy named Johnny who was late for school, and his teacher says to him, "Johnny, why are you late for school?" And Johnny says, "It's snowing so bad outside. I had a terrible time getting here. I would take one step forward and I would slide back two steps backward. I'd take one step forward and slide back two steps." Well, I want to share with you today that today is the fourth Sunday of us looking at this hero, Samson, from the Old Testament. Let me just do a little bit of a recap with you. Samson was called by God to free the Israelites from oppression by the who? Philistines, that's right. And an angel announced his birth, told his mother that he was supposed to raise him by the Nazirite vows. And the Nazirite vows include don't get drunk, right? But then we found that he threw a drinking party. Don't touch unclean things. What'd he do? He went and messed around and ate honey out of the carcass of a lion that he'd killed. And the third is don't cut your hair. Don't cut your hair. So here Samson is with super strength, and yet we find out time and time again he is morally weak. Last week we looked at him being emotionally weak, and Samson goes through all these problems. And so here's what happened when we ended last week. We left Samson where he lost the woman that he loved. First she married someone else, and then she was killed by his enemies. So Samson is in anguish. He turns to the Lord, and God refreshes him. And then here's the very next verse that we read. It's from Judges 15:20. Samson led Israel for what? 20 years in the days of the Philistines. It's a small verse, and I have to admit, the first time that I went through and read this, I didn't even catch this part. But what it really talks about is a huge turnaround. Samson goes from being off the rails to being an on-track leader. He goes from being this wild man to being a leader, and some of the translations even says that he was a judge of Israel. So he went from all about bronze to being about brains. And for 20 years, he was a wise judge. For 20 years, he led by example. For 20 years, he was faithful. For 20 years, we can imagine he had sobriety. And that's great. And praise God when we can say that about people in our own lives too. Thank God for the men who were faithful to their wives for 20 years. Thank God for the parents who for 20 years showed up at their children's events. Thank God for the people who served their church for 20 years. Thank God for the people who for 20 years have been leaders in our community. But can I tell you something you already know? It doesn't matter how many years you've faithfully been walking in the right direction, temptation is right around the corner. No one should get so comfortable in the life that we're living that we forget that we have an enemy that is out there. By the end of this sermon today, we're going to find that Samson is ruined. He's in a horrible situation of his own undoing. And it raises the question, how can a man with so much strength, how can a man with 20 years of right living mess up so badly? And here's the answer. Samson didn't ruin his life all at once. He ruined it what? One step at a time. Samson ruins his life one step at a time. So in other words, Samson messes up his life the same way we mess up our lives. one step at a time. Judges 16:1 says this. Read this first line with me. One day. Let's stop right there. Read that one more time. One day. Isn't that interesting? Right after it says Samson led Israel faithfully for 20 years, the next line says one day. And in one day, we see Samson getting ready to mess up everything that he's done for 20 years. It's interesting as you think about one day. You think about one day has the potential to either lead you to continue to do what you're supposed to be doing. You can turn around or you can turn in the wrong direction. And let's continue to read and see what he does. One day, Samson went to Gaza where he saw what? A prostitute. He went in to spend the night with her. Do you remember the story of David? It begins the same day, the same way. One day. When David wasn't where he was supposed to be, when kings were out at war, David was on his rooftop and he looked across and he saw who? Bathsheba. One day is all it took. This man after God's own heart, not being in the place where he was supposed to be, one day is all it took. And we can start making decisions that lead us into a downward spiral. So one day, Samson goes to Gaza, see a prostitute. And the next verse says that the people of Gaza, the Philistines, which are his enemy, they surround the place that he's at so that they can kill him. Now, it's interesting. I got on the map and began to look. Gaza is 25 miles into enemy territory from where Samson was. So Samson traveled 25 miles for what? For the woman that he was going to marry? No. For what? A prostitute. He risked 20 years of faithful service. He risked his life. He risked God's call on his life, God's purpose in his life. And for what? You begin to wonder, how could a person risk so much for so little? And the answer is people do it all the time. People risk good marriages, good integrity, good careers, good names, good relationships, and even good old freedom, and they'll risk everything for a cheap thrill, a quick high that leaves you feeling dirty. I thought about this 25 miles that kept going through my mind, 25 miles, and I found out that in every mile, there's about 2,000 steps. That meant that Samson had to take over 50,000 steps in the wrong direction. 50,000 steps in the wrong direction. Samson didn't mess up his life all at once. Samson does it step by step. That means he had 50,000 chances to turn around. And I'm wondering, if I'm walking 25 miles to do what's wrong after 20 years of faithful service, how many of those steps do you think that God is calling me to turn around? Think about it, really. Didn't Samson have to turn off part of his brain to be walking in the wrong direction? 50,000 steps. And God is saying, I made you for more than this. 50,000 steps to say, no, this isn't the right decision. 50,000 steps to say, Samson, you're being foolish. Don't do it. Here's the problem. Most people don't plan to mess up their lives. They just take one more step. I don't know a single person who says, you know what? My goal in life is to be a sex addict. That's what I want to do with my life. I want to be a sex addict. I want to be locked in pornography so that I can't have a meaningful relationship. People don't say that, but what happens? It's like, get on the computer. And they go from one site to the next, to the next, to day after day, until all of a sudden they've messed their lives up, what? One click at a time. People don't say, you know what? I intentionally want to be in debt. I want to be broke. I want to be so broke. No one says that, right? What it is, they gamble on something. They buy something they know they don't need. They make this impulsive decision, this impulsive purchase, and they end up messing their lives up, what? One swipe at a time, over and over again. No one says, you know what, I've got this great marriage, and I've got this great spouse, and I've got these great kids, and I want to wreck it all up. They don't say that. But what they do is they say, well, I'll just flirt a little bit. I'll just flirt a little bit and a little bit more and a little bit more until they ruin everything they've got one text at a time. And it doesn't start out with people intentionally thinking that way. But they just take one more step. And please, don't think I'm just talking about theoretical things. We see it every day in the news. The teacher who had sex with her students. And we think when we read it, who would be so dumb, right? The politician who steals money. And we think, they didn't think they were going to get caught? What's going on? The police officer who drives hundreds of miles and gets caught in a sex sting. It doesn't make sense. The preacher who has the affair. And we think, how did he get there? They got there one step at a time. 50,000 steps, and each step, something inside of them is saying, don't do that. Don't go further. And yet we make the wrong decision over and over again. I just want to use Samson as this example of looking at some of the steps that he took that were wrong. One of the first things is Samson taunts his enemies. Here Samson is surrounded by his enemies while he's with this prostitute. He escapes in the middle of the night. And instead of just escaping and then going back and being thankful for his life, Samson decides that he's going to taunt his enemies. He goes to the city gates and he rips up the doors of the city, right? He's kind of saying this, you thought you were safe? You thought you had me? No, you can't touch me. I'm too good. I'm too tough. I can handle everything. And yet, I think that what Samson forgets is that he has an enemy that is greater than the Philistines. He's got the same enemy that each and every one of us has. The enemy that is a spiritual enemy that is here to kill, steal, and destroy. And our enemy, who is the devil, we said this 2 weeks ago, Satan loves to make strong men weak. I remember when I was in elementary school, our classrooms all had balconies, and they went into this courtroom. So every once in a while, the teacher would ask two kids to go out on the balcony and clean the erasers, the chalk erasers. And so when it was your turn to go out on the balcony and do the chalk erasers, you couldn't help but notice up in the corner of the balcony, there were roosting bats. Okay. Well, the teacher just said, don't mess with the bats and the bats won't mess with you, right? That's what we always said. Do you think that we abided by that? No. We would sneak out some chalk when we got the chalk erasers, right? And we'd be out on the balcony and the bats would be in the corner and we would take the chalk and we'd throw it at the bats. Now, I got to tell you something. You're probably thinking, well, what in the world? It was like this. It was like this thrill of danger, right? You're in this like dangerous situation. The bats looked so ugly, and we're like, ah, but we were going to do this. We're going to throw the chalk at the bats and watch the bats fly off. And we would taunt these bats, right? Well, one day, my friend took the chalk and he threw it at that bat, and the bat flew straight at him and landed in his hair. He's in the balcony, right? And he went from taunting to terror in 2 seconds flat. He's screaming and all of the rest of the class is outside just watching this bat flying in his hair, right? And here's my whole point of telling that is that sometimes we can try and taunt our spiritual enemy. Or we can try to get so close to sin and say, you can't get me, right? The alcoholic who's going to go hang around in the bar, but you know, I'm not going to have a drink, right? I'm just going to smell the wine, you know. But I'm not going to do that. Why are you taunting? Why are you taking that risk? Thinking that we're so strong and it'll never happen to us. Here's a second thing. Samson keeps repeating the same old sin. Samson keeps repeating the same old sin. The first week we talked about Samson and his problem was women. He was going off to the wrong kind of woman, chasing after the woman who was his enemy, who didn't love God, and who would end up betraying him. That was woman number one, right? Then today, we find woman number two. He risks it all to go sleep with a woman who's a prostitute. And here's the funny thing. As soon as he gets there, somehow, mysteriously, all of the Philistine army knows exactly where he's at, and they surround him. Sounds like a setup, doesn't it? And then there's woman number three. And here's what the scripture says. Judges 16:4. Sometimes later, Samson fell in love with a woman from the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. Sounds familiar, right? Do you know that Delilah was worse than both of the women before her? Delilah was a hot mess. The Philistine soldiers bribed Delilah to find out the source of Samson's weakness. And so she asked Samson, "Samson, what is your weakness?" And Samson lies to her. Samson says, "Well, it's 7 wet straps. You tie me up with 7 wet straps, and guess what? I'm as weak as a baby." Samson goes to sleep, and guess what Delilah does? Oh, she just accidentally ties him up with what? 7 wet straps. And then she says, "Oh, Samson, wake up. The Philistines are upon you." Samson wakes up, busts out the straps, and takes care of the Philistines. Now, let me tell you something. If I'm Samson, at that moment, I'm done with Delilah. Seriously, I'm done with Delilah. Give me my ring back, blocking your phone number. I don't want nothing to do with you. Give me the key back. You are gone. But Samson, can I say it? Samson's a fool. He is a literal fool. He keeps messing with Delilah. She says, "Oh, Samson, you lied to me. Why would you do that?" And he says, okay, the real thing is, and then he lies again. He says, "It's new ropes. Tie me up with new ropes. And guess what? I'm as weak as any man." Goes to sleep. What does Delilah do? Ties him up with 7 ropes. Then says, "Samson, wake up. The Philistines are upon you." He busts out of those ropes and takes care of the Philistines. And it reminds me of the poem, "Says the Spider to the Fly." You remember that? I remember growing up with that. Says the spider to the fly, "Hey, just come one step closer in my parlor," right? And the crazy thing is the fly knows the whole time that the spider wants to eat him, right? He says, no, I'm not messing with you. I know what you want to do. But the spider flatters him. The spider tempts him. "Oh, come on, I'm not going to mess with you. Just come a little bit closer. Just a little bit closer." And one step at a time, over days, that fly gets closer and closer and trusts until that spider comes and jumps him. Samson is the fly and Delilah is the spider. And over again, 3 different times, she tells him, "Why do you keep mocking me? Why don't you tell me the truth? You don't really care. You don't really love me. Why won't you tell me?" And here's what the scripture says. Judges 16:16. "And she pressed him hard with her words," what? "Day after day. And urged him till his soul was," what? "Vexed to death." Friends, this is the very first description of a man being nagged to death by a woman. Okay? Don't be mad at me. It's right there in the Bible. Finally, Samson can't take it anymore. He says, "It's my hair. It's my hair. Cutting my hair is my weakness." And then look at the very next verse, Judges 16:19. "She made him sleep upon her knees, and she called a man," and what? "Had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him." His strength left him, and I can't help but wonder how many people are fighting on their own strength today because they are not tapping into the strength of God. God's strength left him, but Samson is the one who walked away from God's strength one step at a time. Well, here's the last step that I want to say that happened in Samson's demise. Samson never thought he'd have to pay for his disobedience. Like many people today, we assume, you know what? I've gotten away with it in the past. I'll get away with it again. Kind of like me and my friends throwing erasers at the bat. The bat's not quick enough. It can't catch us. We're too cool. We're too good. Delilah calls out, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. Samson wakes up thinking, you know what? I'll do what I always do. I'll bust out of these bonds. I'll free myself. I've done it before. I'll do it again. This won't cost me. They can't catch me. But he didn't know that the strength of the Lord had left him. He didn't know that things had changed. He didn't know that the bill was due. Let me say something very straightforward to you. You've gotten away with it before, but the bill is due. No one's found out yet. No one's held you accountable. Or even if they have, you've always been able to talk your way out of it, but the bill is due. Your spouse is saying, enough is enough. Your kids are saying, I'm through, I'm done with the lies. Your employer is saying, we no longer are in need of your services. And the bill is due. I would rather say that up on the pulpit than have your family and community say that to you in reality. So what do we do? Stop taking the steps towards direction or towards destruction and make a change. Samson had gotten away with it so many times before, but the Bible says this, be sure your sins will find you out. The Philistines grab him. They gouge his eyes out. They put him in shackles. His head is shaved. And the man with such potential is now in self-ruin. How did it happen? It didn't happen all at once. He did it to himself one step at a time. And if there's nothing else that you remember about this entire sermon, here's what I want you to hear. You don't have to be intentional to get into trouble. We do it all the time. We easily step in. We're not thinking I'm going to go broke. We're not thinking I'm going to get messed up. We're not thinking I'm going to head toward jail. But we unintentionally step towards trouble. But you need to be intentional to be a disciple. The definition of a disciple is one who follows the teaching or examples of their leader. And you're not going to stumble into being a disciple of Christ. You have to intentionally follow the example of Christ. Samson went 50,000 steps in the wrong direction. And I have one simple but important question for you today. What is one step that you will intentionally take today to grow in your discipleship? What's one step? This Thursday, I was at a district meeting, and that's what my district superintendent asked me. Joe Johnson, what is one step you will intentionally take today to grow in your discipleship? I thought that was a great question. I thought that was something that we all need to think about, and I want to give you some examples of ways that we can grow in our discipleship. We can obey what we already know to do. We can pray and ask God to lead us. We can serve others in selfless ways. We can practice generosity and gratitude. I didn't add this here, but we can go on a spiritual retreat like the walk to Emmaus. We can fast. We can join a Bible study, our spiritual growth class. We can worship with gladness in our heart. And we can repent of our sins. Repent literally means to turn around, to turn away from sin. I've been walking this way for 50,000 steps. I'm going to repent. I'm going to turn around. I'm going to walk away from sin, and I'm going to work towards God. There was a little boy named Johnny, and Johnny was late for school. And his teacher said, Johnny, why in the world are you so late for school? And Johnny says, it's snowing so bad outside, I take one step forward and I slip back two steps backwards. I take one step forward and I slip back two steps backwards. And Johnny's teacher said, well, Johnny, if you take one step forward and slip back two steps backwards, how did you end up getting to school? And Johnny said, well, I finally got tired of it and I gave up and I turned around to go back home and I just somehow ended up here. You don't have to be intentional about finding yourself into trouble, but you do have to be intentional about growing into being a disciple of Christ. What will you do today? Amen.